Almost everyone has a poison ivy story, even plant biologist John Gillesco.
I had a big oak tree that fell down in my backyard. I was out cutting down limbs with a chainsaw.
Gillesco knew enough to avoid touching the poison ivy vine growing on the downed tree, but he didn't realize the chainsaw's cord picked up some of the oil that causes the itch. When he wrapped it on his forearm to put it away, he was exposed.
Next day, I started showing rash symptoms, and I never had poison ivy before, so kind of I thought, hey, let's see where this goes.
And this is the first way the poison ivy plant may have sown the seeds of its own destruction.
And for the next 16 days, I developed a very severe itchy rash and actually sleepless nights. I started researching what was known about poison ivy, and the chemical has been known since the 1950s. But exactly what that chemical is doing in the natural environment and how it's made in the plant, no one has investigated this.
Keep a scientist up all night scratching, and he may come up with a plan. Gillesco tried to grow sterile poison ivy plants in the lab, but each time the plants came down with a fungus that eventually killed them. It wasn't what he was looking for, but as they say, chance favors the prepared mind. So he decided to study that fungus.
The fungus was coming from the surface of the seeds, and we still don't really understand what its role is. But what I learned fairly quickly was that I'm not an expert in fungal pathologies.
But a colleague at Virginia Tech, Matt Casson, is. They isolated the fungus and looked at its structure, its spores, their growth habits, and DNA.
But, you know, the biggest question was, is it pathogenic on poison ivy? Sure, we were isolating it from the seedlings, but the question is, if we took it and reinfected healthy poison ivy seedlings, would it cause disease? And certainly we answered that within a few weeks. The answer was yes. It does, in fact, cause disease on poison ivy, resulting in mortality of all inoculated poison ivy plants.
Of course, that raised more questions, like what is poison ivy doing with a fungus that kills off some of its own offspring?
Ecology is very nonlinear, and what we think may be happening is that seeds that just fall directly off the vine onto the ground would be very crowded, and by harboring a pathogen that would kill those young seedlings would decrease competition.
Humans are the only species on the planet that gets a rash from the oil in poison ivy. Many animals eat it.
Birds eat poison ivy seeds, and much of the tissue that we found the fungus on gets stripped off as it goes through a bird's gut. So this may be one way of nature selecting seeds that are transported by birds to a faraway place. Increases, you know, the invasion of the plant.
In nature, the fungus doesn't exist in high enough levels on the seeds to kill all their sister seedlings, so in the lab, Gillesco and Casson used higher concentrations, which did the trick. Tom Mitchell is a fungal biologist at Ohio State University.
To kill poison ivy, one thing people use is chemicals, right? But the chemicals they use tend to be very broad-spectrum chemicals. So you can't really go into a forest and start spraying everywhere for poison ivy without affecting maybe native species as well. So one thing about this is it might be very specific to poison ivy.
Early studies by Gillesco and Casson suggest that it is, and in fact, poison ivy is known to compete out and kill other plants in the landscape, a habit that's expected to continue as CO2 levels in the atmosphere rise, causing it to flourish. Gillesco and Casson are now working on getting the fungus into granular form so it could be applied to plants the way fertilizer is spread. The university has applied for a patent, but the key remains getting a commercial developer to see the potential financial reward of bringing it to market. I'm Robbie Harris.